some good music.
Amen.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you for all of that sound this morning. Boy, I just put you in the atmosphere of worship right there. And the Lord's already spoke to my heart this morning. I just want to say thank you. And I want to thank your church. Your church is a great example to the believers. I'm very thankful to be here. Very privileged to be here. Very thankful for your pastor. And don't ever take your pastor for granted. I know that you don't. I just wanted to bring it back to your attention. I'll say sometimes we snoop a little bit and we get online and listen to preaching. And I tell you, I've listened to a couple messages from Brother Kenny Hicks and I have never been disappointed. I have been moved by the preaching through Brother Kenny Hicks. I appreciate his spirit. I appreciate his passion. And that's what churches need today. They need somebody that doesn't just open the book and talk about some things, but somebody that's in the book, that's living the book. And I just thank the Lord for Brother Kenny Hicks, and he's just been a big blessing to us. We got to ride an ATV yesterday. I think I seen more ATV machines out there than I did cars. I was like, praise the Lord for that. And they're street legal and all that. We had a wonderful time. We've had a wonderful time just to be able to get away for a few days, and really thankful for that. We love our kids. We sure do. We got to bring one of our babies with us, but it was good to get away for just a little bit. It's kind of a rare thing, but me and my wife need that. And couples need that. And I'm very thankful for what God's done. God's blessed us. The devil's fought us, but God has blessed us, and God's gotten a victory time and time and time again. I'm very thankful for that. Okay, this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Well, it's a special day today. I didn't realize that we were going to be involved with such a special day. Just seeing a baptism this morning and some folks that are graduating from Miracle Valley. Wow, we picked a good one. We sure did. It's a special day. And I sure don't want to get in the way. I really don't. You know, one thing, sometimes if you ever get an opportunity to preach out to another church, the biggest prayer request is, God, what would you have me to preach? I've wrestled a lot with it. I've had several different ideas, and I've wrestled a lot with it. But I believe that the Lord have us in Matthew chapter 6. So do y'all stand usually? Or okay, all right, we'll stand together and read our text, Matthew chapter 6. It will start in verse 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." I think we sung about that this morning a little bit, didn't we? "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So this morning I want to talk about, Lord, help us with our secret place prayer. Lord, help us with our secret place prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for letting us be here this morning. And Lord, I just pray you'd be glorified. Unto Thee, O Lord, get glory. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy glory they are and were created. O God, please be glorified this morning, and please help us. Lord, if You'll be glorified, we'll get help. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, you may be seated. You know, sometimes it takes us a little bit to really get into a Sunday morning. As is mentioned earlier, there's a lot of cares and things of this world. There's the world, there's the flesh, there's the devil. There's so much distraction. If Satan can just distract us just a little bit, we will forget that today is the Lord's Day. And me and my wife have prayed this morning, and I'm very thankful for my wife. And I encourage you, if you're married, as couples, pray together. You know, women sometimes just have a way to add to a prayer meeting just by their meekness and gentleness. And she was just praying this morning that any issues or distractions that would come our way, we want to reflect that back to God. Because this is the Lord's day. This is His day. And we want to glorify Him. Today is all about the Savior. It's all about Him today. And so, Lord, help us, even this morning, to get in tune. There may be 1,000 things on your mind. There may be things distracting. There may be all different things. But God, help us this morning to get in tune, to have a soft heart, to let God speak to us, to be humble, to be honest this morning. We're going to talk about the secret place. And we'll ask the question, how is your secret time with God? It's one of the most important times of our day. How is your secret place with the Lord? I hope that we would be humble enough this morning to admit that it needs some help. It needs some help. I'm not talking about praying without ceasing. That's a whole other matter. That's a matter that ought to be born out of a secret time with the Lord. Praying without ceasing, we shouldn't just pray in a secret place and then just leave God there, even though we don't leave Him there. But sometimes we might think, well, I've done this. Okay, I'm going to go about my day. But you don't have to do that. The Bible says you can pray without ceasing. That means you can communicate. You can have a one-on-one relationship with the Lord throughout your day, and God help us to grow to that. I know there's been times in my life where that's been the theme maybe of my day, and I tell you, it's been a wonderful, blessed day. And there's been times where it's not been. It's not been so. But I'm not talking about praying without ceasing. That's another message, but I'm talking about secret place. I'm talking about what Jesus is talking about here, a secret time of prayer. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Isn't that a glorious truth? There's no darkness with God. He's not maybe what sometimes we think He is. The flesh thinks He is. He's a wonderful, loving, everlasting Father to those that are saved. I don't know about you, but yeah, I've had a life of addictions, and to be honest with you, a life of different things growing up. And I used to think of God as somebody that He's not. Because I may have grew up a certain way. I'm not using that as an excuse. I thank God for His holy word that tells me the truth. That He loves me with an everlasting love. He doesn't treat me like maybe I've been treated. And He doesn't just do away with me. He says He'll never leave me nor forsake me, even though sometimes it feels like He might. But it's not the truth. The Word of God tells me the truth, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Bible tells me who God really is. And He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, many times, sometimes we may think of darkness as this heinous sin, terrible things. But if you think about darkness just at its foundation, just the simplisticness of darkness, it's simply this. It's the absence of light. And so, if God is light, and I don't have a secret time with God, I'm walking in darkness. If I'm not walking in the light as He is in the light. Because when you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth me from all sin. Oh, that's glorious. I need cleansing. I know I'm positionally saved, salvation's eternal, but practically I need His cleansing every day. And when I walk in the light, and when I have a meeting with God, He is able to cleanse me up and to restore my fellowship with Him. And I know that my prayers are not hitting the ceiling. I know that they're hitting heaven. And that's a wonderful thing to know. But I got to be cleansed. I got to be walking in the light as He is in the light and allowing His blood to cleanse me. I'm going to ask you a question. How much time do you spend with God in the secret place? And you may say, well, it ain't about the time. It may not be about the time, but it takes a lot of time to meet with God in this secret place. I know you can meet with Him quickly. Don't get me wrong. You can be like Peter who's drowning in the water. And, Lord, save me! You know, this, that last minute prayer. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Have you ever looked at the clock? I'm not saying we go by a clock and we check off some list, but how much time do you spend in the secret place? Have you ever thought about it? It takes time to come in the very presence of God and to deal with sin properly and to intercede for your loved ones, for your friends, for your family, for your missionaries, for ministries, for your pastor. It takes time. And so I ask you, how much time do you spend? It's not so much important about knowing the time, but it does take time to meet with God. And I'll be honest with you, 5-minute prayers a day is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it for your St. Paul. It's not going to cut it for Madison County. It's not going to cut it for your kids. It's not going to cut it for your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not going to cut it for this church. How much time do you spend with Him? 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. I'm not here to condemn or anything like that, but I want to be challenged. I want to be challenged. And I hope that we can come here this morning and be humble and say, I need some help. It needs some work. We never graduate the school of prayer. Never. Not on this earth. It's a school of prayer. Even the disciples asked, Lord, would You teach us to pray? And the Spirit of God is that agent that does that. He enables us to pray. He empowers us to pray. He strengthens us to pray. Let's get into the text. Verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It's interesting, in chapter number 6, there's three things it kind of talks about that stuck out to me. Number 1, he talks about when you give, and then when you pray, and when you fast. Jesus said all three of these as if these are things that we're supposed to be doing. And when you fast. And He also said this, we're not to do these things to be seen of who? Men. But we're to do these things in secret to be seen of who? God. You can have a reward when you're seen of men, but ain't nothing like the reward of God that's there for all eternity. I want His reward. God help our flesh. I don't want man's reward. It vanisheth away. I want God's reward on the deal. Isn't that something that God said, I'm gonna reward you? Do we deserve that? Man, no, don't you know who you are? Come on. Do you deserve a reward from God? What do we really deserve? Let's just be real honest. What do we deserve? We deserve to be eternally separated from God. And the lake of fire, that's all we deserve. We don't deserve a reward, but like Jonah said, I knew that Thou art a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Man, Jonah got it right. He knew who God was. Unfortunately, he didn't think the other people deserved it. He sure didn't deserve it. You ever thought about God being a gracious God? Man, He gives me what I don't deserve. Oh, I don't deserve nothing. Oh, He gives me so much. Eternal life. He loves me. He's slow to anger with me. He's of great kindness. He repents the evil, so to speak. And He's merciful. Oh man, if we could only know how much God withholds that we do deserve. Honestly, come on, we deserve judgment. Have you met your flesh in the past week, any? Well, He's merciful, isn't He? I guess Brother Jeremiah put it this way. He said, Thy mercies are renewed daily. Great is Thy faithfulness. If it wasn't for the Lord's mercies, we would be consumed. Okay. He's merciful. Boy, He withholds so much. Slow to anger, of great kindness. But in this verse, this talks about hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? I'll give you a definition. I feel kind of weird about giving a definition after Sunday school class. I feel like I'm going to miss out on a few things. Well, it's good Sunday school right there. Well, I really like that. I tell you what, that gets people involved. People learn some things. Well, I tell you, I got my pen and paper out, brother. I was ready to write that simple answer down. Never mind. His ways are past finding out. But boy, you sure can learn so much. That was encouraging. I appreciate that. But a hypocrite, one who feigns to be what he is not, one who has the form of godliness without the power, or who assumes an appearance of piety and virtue when he is destitute of true religion. Job 8:1 says, "And the hypocrite's hope shall perish." I got this out of the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. Many years ago, I bought this dictionary. It was about $50-something dollars. But this dictionary is what I believe to be one of the greatest dictionaries that we have. This dictionary will define words with Bible verses. It's a tremendous dictionary. And then I found out later, you can just go online and type in Noah's 1828 Webster Dictionary. Boom, you got it right there. It's free. I'd encourage you, when you study the Bible, which you ought to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you study the Bible, you ought to define words. And this dictionary is a tremendous dictionary to do that. You can go online and for free. It's a tremendous dictionary. Now, there was one time I was trying to study out something about the devil, and I looked up the word, and for some reason the site broke down. I wonder why. And I was able to pull that old big dictionary off the shelf. I'm really thankful for that. But a hypocrite, you might think of a hypocrite is someone that has the form of godliness, but they don't have no power. There's no power. You might think of a hypocrite as somebody that acts like they're someone they are not. And really, in this text, this really gives us an extreme example of a hypocrite. I'm not up here saying there's any hypocrites here. I am to say this, though, that we can be bent towards being that. We can be. If you don't live a life that's seen of God, you will live a life that's seen of men. It happens by default. If you're not seen of God in the secret place, when you come to church and you don't have a walk with God, you'll have to put on one of these after some time. Mask. But this text does give an extreme example of a hypocrite. To be honest with you, I don't think most of us in here are ready to stand and pray in the, you know what I mean? Matter of fact, at our church on Wednesday, we have a prayer meeting and we call on people. I've got to tell you, most of them just got their head down. Don't call on me. I don't know if that's real humility or not, but I get it. I'd rather be that than, ooh, call on me. People want to hear me. Yeah, right. But it's funny. I notice it because I have fun with it sometimes. They're always heads down. I'm going to call. No, I'm just kidding. But really, this chapter here gives an extreme example of a hypocrite. This conversation here, though, it's neat to be able to look at the different Gospels and to get more information out of what's going on, the time frame. And so this conversation that Jesus is having with His disciples, and He's trying to teach them how to pray, this happens or it takes place after the Sermon on the Mount. And so if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter number 10, and we'll go to verse number 38, Luke chapter 10. This kind of gives us the... I just love learning more about just a portion of text. You look over here and this gospel, and it give you a little bit more information, and this gospel give you a little bit more information. You begin to build on what the Lord's saying. Luke chapter number 10, verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." This happens after the Sermon on the Mount. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now we could be careful and anxiety and troubled about many things in this world. Jesus said there's one thing that's needful. Not to do away with the service, but there's one thing that's needful, and Mary had chosen that part that shall not be taken away. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. She chose to be still and know that He is God. And she was rewarded for that and will be rewarded for that in eternity. And we read it in the eternal Word of God because she decided to sit at the feet of Jesus. Like I said, we don't deserve rewards, but God says He's going to give them to us. Even at the judgment seat of Christ, anything that you've done in the power and the strength of the Spirit of God, He's going to reward you for that. And it's something that He enabled you to do because of your dependence upon Him. And He's going to reward us for that. I don't know the depths of it. I don't know a whole lot about it. I've heard that when He gives us crowns, maybe we can, I don't know, this is an opinion, maybe decorate the crowns with those precious stones that He'll give us. Because ultimately that crown is being cast back at Jesus' feet. And I don't want to cast Him a bare crown. I want to cast Him a decorated crown. Because He's enabled me to do all those things, and all glory goes to Him. And then chapter 11, it says, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples.' And He said unto them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven.'" He begins to teach them a model to go off from to pray. Ultimately, Jesus is answering their request to be taught how to pray. Andrew Murray wrote a book called The School of Prayer. And that's where he made the statement that you never graduate the school of prayer. You've never arrived. There's so much more to learn. And so much more to depend upon God for, to make your prayer life not some mechanical, dead prayer life, but a prayer life that's enabled by the Spirit of God, and He brings you into the very presence of God, and you meet your God, and you get to experience the fingerprints of God in your life. That's what He intended in a secret place, not some mechanical, dead prayer. He's not interested in that. And you can see that when he says, don't use vain repetitions. He didn't say, hey, take this model prayer and just repeat these words. No, no, no. Take it and let God develop that in your life. Use the principles that are here and let God develop it. And so if you'll go back with me to Matthew chapter number 6. And let's look at Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So let's talk about a closet. Some of you may not have a closet. Some of you may not be able to get into your closet. Ever happened before? I preached many years ago. We had blessed ministry in the nursing home. That was like the first ministry besides jail ministry the Lord allowed me to be a part of, and just loved them folks. My first job was the wheelman. Man, I'd go and I'd wheel them in, and sometimes I wouldn't make it to the service because some people just couldn't come in. I'd just spend time with them. Boy, it was a blessed ministry. And then a family left, and my pastor said, well, you know, you're going to have to take over till somebody else comes, but I want to tell you right now, that's what I was doing for the church, and I'm still here. And so I said, well, I can't do that. I can't preach. I mean, I give my testimony to jail, and I thank God for pastors. They know what you need, and they're helping to develop in you what God wants for you in your life. Listen to your pastor. And anyways, I remember I was thinking about this passage years ago, and I was thinking, what about these people that are in the nursing home? They don't have no closet. How in the world are they going to be able to do what God said? They don't have no closet. It's not about the physical closet. It's about a place of secret. And I remember this one lady, blessed woman. And I tell you what, nursing home people just was a big blessing to me. There was a pastor even that was in there, and sometimes he would just encourage me in the Lord. Just encourage me. Anyways, I remember telling this lady that, you know, that window right there that's by your bed, when you roll up to that window right there and you bow your head, that can be your secret place. What about when you minister in the jails? Hey, go in your closet. They better not be in any closet. You know what I'm saying? They're in a closet. They're in trouble, amen. Where do they go? I encourage folks weekly in the jails, don't be ashamed of God. Hold on. Don't be ashamed to get on your knees.
Yeah. By the bed.
By the bed.
Yeah.
Maybe pull your cover over.
Uh-huh.
Listen, I realize that can be a rough place sometimes. Sometimes it'd be a blessed place. I tell you what, you get enough people that are down and out and broken at the very bottom of their life.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, God shows up. That's where God wants us to be at.
Uh-huh.
I know there's a lot of deception in there. I know there's a lot of problems in there. But I tell you what, God moves through there many times, and I'm just blown away.
Yeah.
I've never been a part of services like I have been to jail sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just been tremendous. I got saved when I was in jail. God's changed my life. He delivered me of meth and cigarettes, and He's done so much in my life. That's where I got saved. I'm burdened for Him.
Yeah.
I'm burdened for Him. I can't understand why someone would ask the question, why would you ever want to go in there? Why would you not want to go in there? It's a blessed place. People at the bottom.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of trickery and a lot of deception in there, but I tell you what, it's a wonderful place to preach. He said, when you visited me in prison, as you did it the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. That's a good place to go. But they don't have a closet. That bunk can be their closet. I have a closet, and I use it sometimes. But really, my couch is my closet. Early in the morning, it's a blessed place. That's a blessed place. Be careful, it's a comfortable place too. But it's a blessed place. It takes me getting up early in the morning. Now listen. I need help with this. I'm not saying No. I need help with it. Sometimes I get there and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But it's a blessed place.
Yeah.
It's a blessed place. Now, 8 o'clock hits. Kids start going crazy. I might get to the closet. But early in the morning, that's a blessed place. I went to Brother Kenny Hicks' house yesterday. They was watching our baby, and we opened up the door and said, "Hey, we're home." Kids running everywhere. Oh, that's 8 o'clock in the morning in my house. Yeah, because when the kids get up, it's over. My wife, she has to pick a special time. She tries to get them all to go to sleep at the same time. It's a battle, friends. It is a battle to get that secret place. And sometimes you miss it, but your heart's desire ought to be, "I can't wait to get back. Maybe I can make it up today. But if I don't, I'm getting back there tomorrow." Keep that battle in the forefront of your mind. It is a battle. "When thou hast shut thy door," this is very intentional. You've shut out the world. You've shut that out. And that's the reason for me personally. It's good for me to get up in the morning. That's a tremendous time. Some people can pray and read their Bible at night. That's not good for me. If I open a book, I'll go to sleep. I will. It's not good. But morning's a blessed time. "Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Just give a couple examples of folks in the Bible. And our greatest example, Jesus in Mark 1:35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus did this. He had a solitary place. Disciples had to come find him. You can read about that. But he got away and got alone with God. Daniel 6:10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime." I want to talk about rewards for just a minute. I was just meditating on this. I was thinking, well, what's some of the ways that God rewards us, even though we don't deserve it? What are some rewards that God gives us? How about fellowship and cleansing from sin? That's a blessed reward, to have fellowship with God. You know, God doesn't need us. God, He is Jehovah God. He's self-existent. He does not need us. But God is immutable. God is immanent. When I say God is immanent, that means that He literally desires fellowship with us. Even though He doesn't need that, He wants it. He desires fellowship with us. He loves that secret place. And He loves praying without ceasing. He loves for us to talk to Him. He loves to talk to us. That's a reward. We've mentioned it, but when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What's another reward? How about godly burdens? We had a preacher come, Maury Gibson, evangelist. He was preaching on Tuesday, and I'll never forget what he said. As a matter of fact, I won't forget Tuesday's message neither. God changed my life through it. He preached on what iniquity means. Never heard anything like it before in my life. It was just tremendous. And Tuesdays, my pastor stood up, I guess, and talked and was saying that Brother Maury has scheduled things that he prays about. He's not just throwing it out there and talking about it, but he was just fellowshipping with my pastor. My pastor stood up and said, "Well, today's Brother Maury Gibson's day of a touch from God and a teachable spirit." And he stood up and he said, "Yeah, since I'm not a pastor anymore, I've got to rearrange the way I pray." And he said, "Mondays is ministry and missionaries. Tuesdays is a touch from God and a teachable spirit." We got to go to the Hope program there in Oklahoma and hear him preach. He got a lot of help with our Hope program at our church. And you know, it's not really easy to talk to people about the prayer life. You know what I mean? That's a secret thing. But I wanted to hear more about his week. And he expressed it to me. He said, "Mondays is missionaries and ministries. Tuesdays is a touch from God and a teachable spirit. Wednesdays is the weak, wounded, and weary. Thursdays is a day of thanksgiving. Fridays is friends and family. Saturday is services and souls." I said, "Brother Maury, what's Sunday?" He said, "It's all about the Savior. It's all about the Savior." Boy, that really touched my heart, because there's so much to pray about and to be able to put it. And he says, it's not just my my prayer time, but it's the theme of my day. When I'm praying for the weak, weary, and wounded, it's the theme of my day. It's not just that meeting, but it's the theme of the day. And y'all ever had maybe a rough Sunday? Maybe some things have happened. I don't know. But I did one Sunday and had some different things that happened, and I thought I could just push it down and let it go. But I woke up Monday with the same feeling, same struggle. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel like praying. You ever been there before? You ever had flesh before? You ever had the devil before? You ever had that? There's sometimes I cannot wait to pray. Oh, I can't wait to meet with God. But I'm not going to lie to you. There are sometimes my flesh doesn't want to pray. That's why the Bible says to crucify the flesh. I was struggling. I didn't do that early morning time, but my kids got up and I realized I need to get in there. And I did. I went in and I shut the door of my closet and I got in there. And when I got on my knees, you know, the issues and different things, and I met with God, God showed up. I started praying. It was Monday for missionaries and ministries. And as I started praying through our missionaries, our list of missionaries that we have, God squeezed my heart. Squeezed it. I was so burdened for certain missionaries. God did that. Friends, that is a reward. That is a gift, because I had heart. I had flesh. And God got in there and squeezed that heart. I could just pour out my soul to God. Oh, it's a blessing. That's a reward. That's a gift from God that He would give a godly burden for missionaries. And I was able to even email them and talk back and forth with them. It's just a blessed thing. But God, He rewards us. He rewards us with fellowship and cleansing from our sin. And by the way, a fellowship with God, a lot of times, is just a fellowship of dealing with sin. It's not an ugly thing. It's a beautiful thing. We have fellowship with Him. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus, pretty much just puts His arm around us and says, yeah, we got some big things there. But we're going to walk through it together. Oh, I'm so thankful that when I'm looking at sin in my life, I look at it totally different. But when I'm in fellowship with Him, He brings me into fellowship with that and how to deal with it in the proper way. I don't try to come to God and start confessing my sin right off the bat. I don't have a right view of my sin. But if I worship God, I'm in His presence, He can take me to that sin in the proper view of that sin. He can clean me up. Fellowship with God a lot of times is a fellowship we're dealing with our sin. It's not a... Listen, you ain't Jesus. You got issues. You got problems. We all do. That's not blowing His mind. He's not wringing His hands. He's like, we're going to deal with this. We'll deal with that. We'll be the husbandmen. We'll go over and clip this off. We'll take that away. Hey, no problem here. We're forming you and making you into the image of His dear Son. That's a part of being here. It's a blessed thing. It's not a terrible thing. Let's deal with it. Another reward. Seeing answers to prayer. That's a reward. I tell you, I don't think that there's anything that breathes life into a believer more than when a believer has an opportunity to give the gospel. Okay? Oh, I'm telling you something. You feel down and out? Go tell someone about Jesus. Get an opportunity to give the gospel and He will breathe life into you like you've not had in a minute. I don't think there's anything more that breathes life into a believer, because that's why we're here, is to give the gospel when God gives us that opportunity. Woo! Man! Yeah. Glory! But I tell you what, answer to prayers, it's up there too. That's a reward to see. You know, God wants you to see answer to prayer. He wants you to see His fingerprints. Oh, absolutely. He wants to increase your faith. He wants you to see His hand. He does. That's a reward, answer to prayer. I give you an illustration. This is funny, but me and my kids, we have a family deal that we do. We have an old 1990 golf cart, and we like to ride down to the highway. My kids, I got a 4-year-old John, 3-year-old Lydia, 1-year-old Samuel, and then 5-month-old Titus is in the nursery. And Samuel's the funniest one. We back our golf cart up to the highway, and we wait for big trucks. Big trucks. I love hearing Samuel. He's close to two. But he says, "Big truck, get it, big truck, big truck." And they're all doing this number right here. It's a highlight of our day when we get to do that. It's awesome. We don't see a lot of big trucks, but I tell you what, there was a day where we didn't see no big trucks, and we're waiting, and I fixed out to go into the jail, and Mama's been making some homemade bread. Time's running out. Amen. Ain't no big trucks coming. But John said, he's my 4-year-old, he said, "I'm going to pray." All right, John, go ahead and pray. So, Lord, would you send us a big truck? And I tried to tell him, I'm like, you know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he's... I didn't say nothing this time, but I do try to make sure that... And it happened the other day, he prayed and it didn't happen. Okay, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. He said, "Lord, would you please send us a big truck?" It's a highlight. Boy, I tell you what, you forget these old stinking video games and get out there and have some fun. You know what I'm talking about? This right here, this generation's losing this. Come on. And he's praying, "Lord, would you please send us a big truck?" And then Samuel, he's 1.5. He said, "I pray." Sir said, "Go ahead." He said, "Lord, big truck, big truck." And I'm going to tell you something. I said, "Sarah, we can't go to the house yet." I was like, "I know what that did to me. And I can't imagine what that did to God." I was like, "I feel it." And I think the Lord's letting me feel that. I was like, boy, I was, whoo, melted me. You won't believe it. John said, "Daddy, big truck, big truck." Just a few minutes later. And then I looked over to the right. On the other side of the road, coming this way. I said, "John, look, big truck! Big truck!" I ain't lying to you. They both came by at the same time, and they're doing this number right here. Dun, dun! Dun, 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 dun! 2 big trucks. Never seen it before in my life. Hey, listen. God rewards us with answer to prayer. I don't want my kids to forget about that. I don't want them to. I try to encourage John, and he's young, but I try to encourage him to have a prayer life outside of being around us. He's young, okay. But I remember one time he went and prayed that it wouldn't rain. We was having fireworks 4th of July. I said, "Remember, you know, God can say yes, he could say no, but he can say wait. Sometimes he says yes." We had rain in the forecast 4th of July last year, I believe it was. God answers prayer. He may answer it yes, may answer it no, may answer it wait, you know. But that's a reward to see answers to prayer. I'm encouraged by Psalm 113 verse 6 says, "Who humbleth himself to behold the things in heaven and the things of earth." It's so humbling just to think about how God, when we pray, He stoops an ear to hear. God's ears are open under the prayer of the righteous. God hears your prayer and God answers it. Isn't that enough? Isn't that an encouragement? He may say yes, he may say no, or he might say wait, but God answers. And that's a blessed thing, and that is a reward. Matthew 6, verse number 7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." We'll just throw this out here. We said it earlier, but the Lord's not interested in dead, mechanical prayers. I want to give you a few verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "Praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Jude chapter 1. I don't know if you want to turn there or not. Not Jude chapter 2, but Jude chapter number 1. Jude chapter number 1, verse 20. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And then we have Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Very encouraged when you can get several verses that say the same thing. There's a doctrine there. It's not just one verse. But we have a verse that says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And it talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. And then Romans chapter number 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray as we should or as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is my point. The Spirit of God has been given to you if you're saved. If you're not saved here this morning, all the things that they were singing about, that's not to you, but it can be. The cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, all these things. But if you're saved, God has given you His Spirit to help you to pray. He's given you His Spirit to guide you into all truth. He's the Comforter. He's the Paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside to help you. Now, you might be able to pray, okay? But the Spirit of God can enable you to pray way better. He's the one that can bring you into the very presence of God. And I think it's a wonderful thing to say, Spirit of the living God, would you help me to pray? Would you help me to worship God? You do a whole lot better job than I can. If I'm doing it myself, it can be mechanical and it can be dead. But I know what it's like when I've asked the Spirit of God. He's a person. He is God. Don't forget it. Randy, don't forget it. It's not just God up there, but God in here. He said, it's better for you that I go away. For if I not go away, I won't send you the Comforter. Jesus said, hey, it's going to be good stuff. I'm going to live in you by the Holy Spirit of God. And we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. He can enable us to pray. And I think it's so wonderful to just, before you meet with God, God, would you, by your Spirit, would you help me to pray? Would you enable me? Would you bring me into the very presence of God? It's a blessed thing. It sure is. Just a few more things and we'll be done. Back in Matthew, we're not going to go through the model prayer, but I want to just look at the very beginning of it. Matthew chapter 6, he gives him this model. And he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think one of the most important things when we begin to pray is to worship and praise God. You spend time putting Him first like we ought to with anything. Worshiping and praising God is the most... And by the way, it's not the praise and worship that we have today. When I say worship and praise, I realize some of us can't, and God knows this. But can I tell you that the purest definition of the word worship is to bow before royalty. That's an act of humility. That's worshiping. If you was to go in front of a king, would you go up in there like this? What up, king? No, you get on your face. And if we're physically able to, I think it's really good. It's an act of humility. God graces humility. You may not be physically able to. God knows that. You can worship God and bow in your heart to God. But if you're physically able, it's good to get on your knees. It's good to get on your knees. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the Creator God. He's big. His ways are past finding out. He's wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's good to get on our knees to Him and worship Him. So what does worship and praise mean? It means to glory in God's unique greatness. I have a prayer journal that has a list of God's names. Because to be honest with you, my little brain, I run out of ideas. But I have a list of God's names. And sometimes when I don't really just have one on my heart, I'll just start going through it. You're the Creator God. Oh God, You created me. You created everything. Lord, You're the Everlasting Father. Oh, You've loved me with an everlasting love. You are the Prince of Peace. Oh God, thank You that You give peace. He says, my peace give I unto thee, not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Oh, thank You for being the Prince of Peace. And as I'm going down through the list of names, He never fails. He'll point one out. that one's for you. And that's when I just stop and begin to worship God on the name that He points out to me. And that time, as Jesus gave this model prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," when we begin to pray in that secret place, we begin to worship God, number one. We can focus on our relationship with God through the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can thank God for who He is. We worship God. He's one God manifest in three persons. But we can think about Jesus and how He sitteth upon the throne. He still has the nail prints in His hands and how He ever lives to intercede for us. And we can begin to thank the Spirit of God for all that He does. I tell you what, when you spend some time there, you get ushered into the presence of God. The Spirit of God just gets excited, okay? And then you can come to the place where you deal with sin properly. Like I said, this right here, Matthew 6, is just a model. He doesn't want you just to repeat it, but to use it and to grow in your prayer life. And then going into intercessory prayer. I really like what Mari Gibson, how he's divided up. You don't have to do that, but it's been a blessed thing to me. Missionaries and ministries on Monday, touch from God, a teachable spirit on Tuesdays. I really need that because I weld in a weld shop on Tuesdays and Fridays, and there's a little 18-year-old in there, and his dad's a pipeliner welder, wonderful welder, but the 18-year-old, he kind of thinks he's just as good as his dad is, and I've been welding for 15 years, and I thank God that that day is a touch from God and a teachable spirit, amen, because I need that, you know, but because I'm prideful, we all are, but so are 18-year-olds that never hadn't hold a stick very long, you know what I'm saying, amen, but I'm thankful for that day, but you know, it is a blessed thing to schedule out different days. It's exciting. I look forward to it. I look forward to it. Man, this is a special day here. I will say this, that Wednesdays is one of the most attacked days, and I wonder why. It's for the weak, weary, and wounded. I've noticed that. Just in recent days, that's the day I'm so distracted, it seems like. But there's that model. I just want to say this. A prayer journal is an awesome tool. It's an awesome tool. A prayer journal. Jotting down your meetings with God is an awesome tool. A scheduled time to meet with God is a necessity. Do you schedule time where you meet with God daily? If you haven't, you need to. Because if you haven't, you know as well as I do, that gets on the back burner. More than it ever should. Do you have a scheduled time where you meet with God? I realize that schedule may get interrupted. Okay, may. It will get interrupted sometimes. But you ought to have a scheduled time where you meet with God. You say, God, you know what? You give me 24 hours a day. God, you ask for a tithe, that's 10%. I'm not saying you have to spend whatever that is of 24 hours a day. But listen, He gives you 24 hours a day, you ought to give Him something. You ought to give Him a tithe of that. And it's such a wonderful thing to say, you know what, God, this time belongs to You, and I'm looking forward to it, and He's looking forward to it even more than I am. I think it's good to schedule a time. Prayer journal is an awesome tool, but a scheduled time with God is a necessity. I'm just going to read one verse and we'll be done. This is something we need to think about here. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. I hope you have a scheduled time with God. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 says, this is Samuel speaking, and he says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray." And yes, he says for you, but the big deal is ceasing to pray is a sin against God. And if we've not scheduled a time to meet with God, we will cease to pray. Maybe not entirely, but he's on the back burner. Does not the Scripture say, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart? Does not it say, putting the things of God before, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Should not He be number one? It's the greatest command. And Samuel said, because it's possible that we would be this way, Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And God, please help us.